happy holidays. Welcome to Badass Bitches Tarot for the week of December 23rd to December 29th. I'm your host, Cardzi B. As many of you may already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in New York City. I got my first tarot deck when I was still in grade school and have turned that curiosity into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardzi B. I hope you guys are all having a fab holiday season and have some fun plans for the upcoming week. I'm a little bummed about the end of Sagittarius season, but we did have a pretty great week. We had the full moon in Cancer yesterday, Saturday, December 22nd, and we just celebrated an amazing winter solstice on Friday. This is our final week of December, and therefore our final week of the Seven of Cups. So use this final week to cash in on the multiple opportunities Seven of Cups may still be bringing in. But remember to move forward decisively and with intuition before the opportunities may begin to fade. It's also our last week of the Fiery Page of Wands, aka Ivy Levon, working with us to inspire action, creativity, and change. To hear more in depth about the cards for December, you can go back to episode 20 of the podcast. Now for the card of the week. The Hanged Man. Okay, so people have mixed feelings about this card. In the OG Smith Rider-Waite deck, this is a man suspended from a wooden T or kind of like a tree-like structure. He's hanging upside down and he's therefore viewing the world from a completely different perspective. His facial expression seems pretty calm, especially considering he's just hanging there. So this suggests to the viewer that he's hanging in this position by choice, or he's put himself into this position. He also has a halo around his head, which is said to represent enlightenment or knowledge. This card is really known for two major lessons: being in a time of surrender and often uncertainty, and also a time of change of perspective, as demonstrated by the actual physical position of the man being inverted. And the Badass Bitches Tarot deck, this is Lindsay Lohan. So those of you who know Lindsay Lohan, she went from party girl of Hollywood to zenned out on plant medicine, chilling in cryo baths of Dubai. And she's recently been spotted kind of back on the party scene, up to her old ways. That really is reminiscent of the Hanged Man. You know, really breathing into that discomfort, surrendering to it, and seeing that, you know, we're going through this kind of uncomfortable period for the reason of a transition. The Hanged Man coincides with the upcoming last quarter moon in Libra as well. This waning moon is a shadow period. It's really encouraging us to lean into our shadow side. Carl Jung defined the shadow self as the parts of ourselves that we try to reject or hide from. The last quarter moon in Libra reminds us to lean into the dark and the discomfort of the Hanged Man, and in doing so, we're more likely to emerge authentically victorious. On that note, I'm very excited to introduce this week's guest, the author of numerous tarot books, including Tarot Diva, Llewellyn's complete book of Rider-Waite-Smith Tarot, 365 tarot spreads, 365 tarot spells, and she also created her own deck, Tarot of the Haunted House, and is the creator of numerous additional tarot events, courses, and experiences. The Tarot Diva herself, Sasha Graham. Thank you so much for coming on, Sasha. We are so excited to have you.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
Oh my gosh. So I, as the listeners know, I've been a big fan of your work and read almost all of your books. I just ordered the new one actually and haven't read it yet, but I love 365 Tarot Spells and 365 Tarot Spreads and Tarot Diva, of course. Can you tell us a little bit about how you first began working with tarot?
Yeah. I'm a Halloween baby. So I always kind of thought, so from a very young age, I just should know how to read the cards. Like I was born with the ability, which of course I wasn't. So when I did get my first deck of tarot cards and opened them up and didn't know what I was looking at, I was verklempt, you know, and partially I think Tarot Diva sprung from that moment where I was so overwhelmed, but I wanted to know what the cards meant. So I was happy to kind of open it up for other people who would ever be feeling that same sense of frustration. But working professionally as a tarot card reader came about when my daughter went off to kindergarten. I'd been a stay-at-home mom. And my husband looked at me like the first day she was off to school and was like, okay, time to maybe jump back into the workforce. And, you know, the great thing about professional tarot reading, especially in an urban center like New York City, obviously, is that you really have control over your schedule, and tarot readers, you know, are in demand in terms of like events and parties. So at first it was very practical. I figured I could hire myself out for events and parties at night and then maintain a private practice during the day. And it gave me control over my own schedule so that I could still be there for my daughter. But little did I know when I started out just as a professional reader that so many wonderful things would blossom from it.
I love that. And I feel like that's the case with so many professional readers that I've interviewed and my own practice, is that it kind of was this snowball effect that turns into healing in other facets as well.
It does. And I think that's the funny thing about being on whatever your journey is with the tarot deck. You know, it winds up, I think, for everyone who stays with the cards for the long haul, that the journey is so transformative. And when I started reading cards, it literally was, let's take a peek into the future. I had no idea it would become a spiritual practice, a healing modality, and sort of the gateway to the supernatural that it's become. And I think that that's true for most readers.
Oh, definitely. And speaking of that, actually, and following your social media and your website, you've been offering more yoga and tarot-infused events. I saw that you're doing Kripalu in February. How is the integration of yoga added to your tarot as a like you said, healing and wellness practice?
Well, it was a natural progression. The longer you work with tarot and the longer that you interface with archetypes and symbol, you begin to realize that underneath kind of what I call the trick of the material world or the trick of the world of pentacles is that everything is a lot more similar than it is different. And I realized, because I already had an active yoga practice going, that the asanas, the postures in tarot, in yoga, are really the same as the archetypes of tarot, in that you can position yourself inside of a yoga pose the same way you can enter a tarot card and discover things, and it becomes a journey, right? So as weighted as each and every major arcana card is, kind of sitting there waiting for us to explore it, the same is true of any pose in a yoga practice. It's exciting to me to kind of merge those two things.
I love that. So that's kind of something that you discovered as you were practicing yoga, and then it was the poses were kind of reminding you of the cards and the archetypes, is that, and then you kind of fuse the two into a more intertwined practice?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I began pulling a tarot card before my practice. Many of us who practice yoga often will be, you know, invited to set an intention before your practice. And so, of course, I started pulling tarot cards before my practice and would keep that kind of as the intention that would be at the forefront of my mind. And then, of course, as always, you know, I don't want to just stay kind of open to the forces of destiny. I started to choose particular tarot cards to put at the front of my yoga mat. So when I wanted to incorporate Empress energy or High Priestess energy, I would specifically pull that card and dedicate my practice to the energies of that arcana. And then it just sort of spiraled from there. I think the marvelous thing about yoga and tarot together is that tarot can be very much in our imaginations, in our head, right? That sacred landscape, the sacred imagination we enter into when we venture into a card or perform a reading for ourselves or others. Yoga is integrated inside of your body, so you're having a physical, sensorial reaction, relationship, exploration of the same idea. So it really grounds the archetype inside your body. It's a much different experience than just entering a card on the imaginative or visual level.
I love that. And you know, it's funny, I work with a shamanic healer who he always, that's one thing that he like really drills home for me, is that there are things that you can on an imaginative, emotional, you know, even philosophical sense connect to, but it's really different in bringing it into a physical practice, and both are important. So I would love to explore that more. Is there an opening still for your Kripalu event, or is that booked already?
Yes, yes. And anybody who's interested, I'm teaching, it's a yoga and tarot Ignite Your Inner Magic weekend retreat. And I'm teaching it with Allison DeNicola, who is the creator of the Yoga Mudra Oracle deck. And she's actually a certified yoga instructor. So she'll be really leading the yogic physical asana part of the program, whereas I'll be focusing on journeying and integrating the cards. But there's still spots available. It's at the end of February. It's going to be a cozy winter weekend at Kripalu. So yeah, please hop on and join. It would make for a great girls weekend.
I'm going to look into signing up, and listeners are going to be happy to hear that there's still availability. That's incredible.
Yes.
So as we're kind of, that's great after kicking off the new year to kind of then ground with the yoga practice. As we're approaching the beginning of 2019, two of your books are kind of focused on year-round practices, the 365 tarot spells and 365 tarot spreads. And I really think they're both great resources for starting off a new year. I work with both of them, and I actually just ordered 365 tarot spells for my best friend. I love both of them. I love the historical and kind of astrological lunar significance that you work into each day. So it really does give each calendar day kind of a significance. And so I was going to ask you, in addition to, obviously these books are great resources throughout the whole year, in addition to the spreads and rituals that you've written into these books, do you have any simple tricks for us that you would recommend adding into if we're starting, you know, a new year and trying to add in some new healing practices on a daily basis?
Absolutely. The first thing I would say is for anyone, if you can just maintain a 5 minutes a day card a day practice, that in and of itself, I believe unleashes extraordinary ramifications in your life. The simple act of just clearing your mind, pulling a tarot card, asking a simple question like, what do I need to know today? Or what's something I should focus on today to bring me like the greatest amount of happiness and awesomeness? Just 5 minutes of sitting with a tarot card, I think will work wonders. And what happens is, again, it becomes this kind of addictive creative space where suddenly you realize how powerful you are and how magical tarot is. One of my favorite things that I do in addition to pulling a card a day is, and I advise anyone and everybody to do this, is to cultivate a gratitude practice. I send a gratitude email to my sister every single morning, and she sends one back to me, and we just send each other quick emails with a list of the things that we're grateful for in that moment. I can't tell you how incredible that practice has been and how powerful being in a space of gratitude, and then writing down things that you're thankful for that haven't happened yet that you would like to have happen.
Oh, I love that. I also do the gratitude email like to myself, and I save it in a folder, but I like that you're the future projecting of what you're grateful for that hasn't occurred yet. I love that.
Yeah. When you're grateful for something, you know, as if it's already happened, it puts you in a pretty amazing and a pretty powerful space. So yeah, I would definitely put in a gratitude practice along with a card a day. Yeah.
I think that's a great way to start 2019. I'm actually going to list that out in the notes to this podcast as your suggestion, because I think that's beautiful.
Yay.
The other thing, kind of on the flip, like shadow side, I guess, I love that you're a Halloween baby. That is my favorite time of year. I do a whole like Octoberween fest on the podcast. We do giveaways. I'm actually Sagittarius, so I have the whole like Christmas baby thing, but I am jealous of your birthday because love it. And I am such a huge fan of your deck, the Tarot of the Haunted House. Like, you don't even know. I think it's so cool, the whole kind of fool's journey in that setting. And I also created and released my own deck this year, so I have so much respect and admiration for anyone who's gone through this process.
It's quite the undertaking.
Yes. So how did you decide on the theme of your deck, and what was the process like in developing it and bringing it to fruition?
Well, you know, it's funny because there's so many tarot decks on the market. People would ask me after I started publishing my books, when are you going to make a deck? And I was like, well, there's so many out there. Why do I need to make one? And I was having a conversation with my Italian editor at Lo Scarabeo one day. And he was saying, Sasha, you got to make a deck. And I'm like, Ricardo, there's a million decks out there. And he said, Sasha, it is one thing to sit and read the cards. It is quite another to have the arcana spring from inside your soul.
I love that. And this is true. Yes.
Right? And I was like, oh, I really never thought of it that way. So I intentionally started looking for a theme. And of course, looking around to see what kind of captivated my interest, what was I sort of obsessive about already. And I had been obsessively collecting soft cover gothic novels from the 60s and 70s. You know, those little paperback novels with like a woman running away from a haunted mansion, sort of with a light on in the tower. And I never read these books, but I collected them because I loved the cover art so much. And I love the whole idea of any of those haunted house gothic films and novels from the 60s and the 70s that has the heroine running away from a mansion in the beginning. And then by the end of the novel or the film, she actually owns the mansion. She owns the estate, right? Because of course the haunted house is a metaphor for the self. So I thought, oh, that's what I'll do. And I love the supernatural and I love gothic horror and gothic fiction. And I used to be a Bean movie star back in the 90s. So I thought
you're like my dream girl. I love all of that about you. That is incredible. And that makes so much sense why this deck is so like authentic and incredible. Yes.
Thank you. And I'm working on a deck right now with Llewellyn that will be out in 2020 called it's a shadow deck called the Dark Wood Tarot. With an incredible artist, Abigail Larson. And it's a real, it's about a dark witch who goes inside the dark wood to encounter sort of the underbelly of every tarot card. And of course she emerges from the wood, a changed and more full version of herself. So I'm excited about that as well. Now I'm addicted to making decks.
I love, you know, it's so funny. I don't know if you feel this way. When I created mine, there are parts that I loved so much, and I hand illustrated all of mine, and I love doing the illustrations. And there are parts that are like painful and revisions and editing. But then after you do it, it's funny. I was the same way. After I was so happy to complete it, and then I was like, oh, maybe I want to do another one.
Right? Oh my! It's like the creative. It's exactly like having a child, because like when I had my daughter, there was nothing more painful, right, than being in labor. And it was horrible. And then the second it was done, right, the endorphins take over, she's out. And I was like, oh, I could so do this again, which of course I didn't, but no, it is that same thing. And then it's so exciting, isn't it? When you see people's reactions to your tarot deck, when you see it go out and like have a life of its own in the world.
I see it resonating with people. I have to tell you, for Tarot of the Haunted House, it's funny, I had purchased it and I had, like I said, I had read several of your books, and I didn't put it together until after I already got the deck that it was yours. And I was like, oh my God, this one is so amazing. Cause it is kind of that new like shadow side that isn't necessarily in other books of yours that I had read, and I love it. And what I love about it is kind of the unfolding of the story. And I think there's so much that can be done just as an extension of that deck. Like that could easily be, you know, come to life visually in a series. I could see you doing events around that, like, you know, literal like haunted house experiential events. It's beautiful.
Oh, yes, yes. That's so funny that you talk about experiential, because I don't know if you, I'm sure you probably saw Sleep No More, that immersive piece of theater that came out years ago in New York City. You know, when you start to work with the tarot on your own, right, when you really literally show up and do the work, when you meditate into the cards, when you're working with the arcana, it does become this very like immersive thing. So I would actually listen to the music from that show oftentimes when making the deck. I love immersive events, immersive theater. That's the whole reason I love the supernatural, obviously. So thank you. I've been thinking about maybe writing a novel to go along with the protagonist of that tarot deck.
Sure.
I don't know. You'll see.
Well, yeah, if you do anything experiential with that, let me know. I would love to obviously attend, and if there's any way to be a part of it. I'm doing this upcoming fall in the Hamptons. It's called Badass Bitches Tarot City Witch event, because I've gone to a lot of events that are, and it's either like very, very bare bones or it's like Canyon Ranch. So I'm trying to do something kind of cool that's approachable and like, you know, financially somewhat attainable to people, but also civilized and has like plumbing. So like tarot and yoga themed event in this upcoming fall, but I would love to see you do something with this. So keep me posted.
I will. I definitely will.
Speaking of, I also love which is kind of event-based and to a degree, it's your new web series, Enchanted Kitchen. And I have to tell you, I've watched all of them that you have so far, but my favorite was Nine of Pentacles, the lava cake, which is delicious. And but I love how like you put together the cards with the recipes. Were you always kind of into cooking, or was this similar to yoga that it was something that you were passionate about and then you saw the connections? Like, how do you get the inspiration for the recipes that go with each card?
Well, because, you know, witchcraft is very sensorial, right? The first thing when you go to study and to practice witchcraft, what kind of like witchcraft 101 is to start to cultivate your senses, your sight, the sound, touch, hearing, taste, right? So just the very nature of practicing, I don't know, either living and or like extreme living and or witchcraft makes one a connoisseur of sensual pleasures, right? And what's more sensual and delicious than food and like readily available, and you get to have it like at least three times a day or two times a day. It just seemed like a natural fit for me. I also always would look at cookbooks as if they were spell books. You know, I probably will race to a cookbook the same way that I would race to a grimoire, right? When you need something and there it is kind of laid out, something you can do immediately and have a result from. I also, in Tarot Diva, included 10 recipes because I wanted people to start thinking about tarot as something that is not just like a card on a table, but something that is alive and that can be played with, right? What would the High Priestess's kitchen look like? It would be very different than the Hermit's kitchen. So I loved the idea of just bringing tarot to life through something that you're actively playing with. Again, witchcraft is very crafty, right? It's a very hands-on thing to do. So it was just super fun to kind of look and see what cards could inspire what recipes, and then just take it a step further and show people how they can put intention, like simple intention, behind the act of making a peanut butter sandwich and turn that into a magical act that would have real life ramifications in their life and bring their desires close to them. Something as simple as, yeah, making peanut butter on toast and then writing a symbol with a honey bear and drizzling honey on top. It can bring something, it can have a magical effect in your life. And I think magic and tarot and all of that stuff can seem super scary sometimes to people, or intense, or like they don't know, you know, they're not an expert and why should they try and do it? And it's not, it's simple, it's innate. Like, we're all so magical, we're all so powerful. Start in your kitchen, you know, start with your coffee in the morning with a tarot card. Whatever way you can get in touch, more in touch with who you are and what you want in your life, that's like a good thing. So yeah, the Enchanted Kitchen was just a super fun experiment that my husband and I started, and then Tom Skerritt's production company, Hey You Media, got involved, and we're going to be working on season 2 in the new year. So I'm stoked.
I'm so excited. That was my question, was when are more episodes coming? Because I have watched them all and I'm very excited for more. And I do love that. I love that, you know, your point of it's really just like using intent and small rituals, and it doesn't have to be, you know, kind of a big elaborate thing. It's really just the intent you put into it. And I think that people that are, that you really enjoy their cooking and sharing food with them, it's because they put that energy and love and intent into the food, and you can literally taste that. So I think that the Enchanted Kitchen kind of displays that, and it really gives people an approachable how-to, because it's all delicious recipes, I have to say, but it's also, they're very approachable, and they're not overwhelmingly complicated in any way either.
No. And in fact, I was just in Seattle and I did an Enchanted Kitchen cooking event at a Jewish center there. And it was phenomenal. I took about 25 ladies and we made 2 recipes. Well, first they all read each other's tarot cards. And then I took them through the process of making 2 simple recipes. You know, one was just dates stuffed with peanut butter rolled in sugar. And that was for grounding. And then the other one was just a simple egg salad, for visioning. But it was so much fun to bring everybody through the process and sort of like watch everyone kind of come alive. And it was wonderful too, because a lot of the ladies were kind of skeptical when they began the evening. And by the end, they were just like, that was amazing. This is so much fun. So yeah, I love it. I love magical cooking.
Yeah, that's, well, I'm so excited that there is another season. So I will definitely be binging on that as soon as they are released. So as we're getting to the end of the half hour, I have to ask you, and I'm so excited for your answer because you are literally like the queen of tarot. I ask every guest this, do you have a favorite card and why?
Yes, of course I do. Well, I have a favorite two cards. I would say that depending on my mood, it's so obvious, right? It's the High Priestess and or the Empress, because I really feel like there are two sides of the same full moon. So depending on my mood, those they're like Bob Marley. Go to them at any point, and it's always applicable and always awesome. They fit for any situation. I love them. Yeah. You feel High Priestess, Empress.
Yeah, I was. It's funny. That's what I would have guessed, Empress, for you, and that's probably just because of, you know, being familiar with your work and your books. Is that? Do you feel that you are an embodiment of one or both of those cards, and that's why you gravitate towards them?
Well, I think that they're and the two cards together kind of form the perfect human. I don't want to say like I think it's interesting that if you take the High Priestess and add her to the Empress, you kind of get the complete woman. Yeah. Whereas the male energy is kind of only encapsulated by the Emperor, which is kind of strange, unless I guess you could kind of match the Emperor up with the Magician. I don't know. And to even say that just the High Priestess and the Empress equals a woman, that's not fair, because that's true for any man as well. But I do think that when you take those two cards into consideration, you kind of have the seed of any human being and everything that they're capable of, from their birth all the way to the end of their life, to their death, and for all of the multiverses they perhaps exist in at the same time. I think it's the blueprint of everything. I think it's, you know, obviously the High Priestess is everything that's inside you that is authentically you. And then the Empress is the expression of that and is the love and kind of the bursting of the High Priestess. So they're both so potent and beautiful. And you had to make a bare bones tarot, I think you could just go with High Priestess and Empress and those two cards for the rest of your life, and you'll still get all the information you would ever need to know.
I love that. Do you have a least favorite card that you, when you pull it for yourself or have it pulled, that you are not happy to see?
I do. And I know that, you know, a lot of tarotists would probably say, no, you should love them all equally, or they're all equally valid. Yes, of course, every card is valid. I have to say, I cannot stand it when the Justice card comes up.
Oh, okay, what is that? What is your reason for that? That's a new one. That's a new answer to this question, but I love that.
Well, because, you know, the Justice card to me always represents get to work. Right? Get to work and cut through the bullshit.
Yes.
Like, stop fucking around, because I feel like there's nothing particularly glamorous or beautiful about that card. She kind of just looks straight into you and says, you know, what the fuck are you avoiding? And why aren't you like getting down to business? Right? It's so, yeah, I always feel like Justice holds me accountable in the squirmy ways that I would rather avoid. yeah. And that has to do with creatively, professionally, personally. Yeah, it's accountability. And I know that's something I totally struggle with on a daily basis. So yeah, definitely Justice. I don't know. What about you?
I hate the Devil card. It's funny. If you do the numerology, I'm in the year of the Devil. Thank goodness it's over. I'm going into 19, which is the Tower, which I'm strangely excited for the Tower now.
But
I hate the Devil, because I think it's what, you know, it's funny that you're saying that you hate having to, like, you know, be held accountable and get to work. And it's whatever people deal with individually, because I definitely am an extremist and can be self-sabotaging, which is very the Devil in terms of vices and self-sabotaging behavior. So that's why it tortures me. Yeah.
That's so hilarious too, because I was just like looking at your Instagram, I'm like, oh my God, she's like every good piece of the Devil incarnate right there, like all of the Devil's tasty bits, like, yes.
Oh my God, thank you, that's like the loveliest, thank you. And it's funny, if you follow the work of Mary Greer, in my numerology, it's my shadow card for life as well. I'm like, well, that's awesome, it's not just 2018, it's following me forever, so.
What you resist persists.
Yes, that's accurate. Thank you so much, Sasha. It has been a pleasure. In addition to, okay, so season 2 of Enchanted Kitchen, and the new tarot deck that's coming out in 2020. Do you have any other? And you have Kripalu, they're still open, and you have a tarot school meetup in January, right? I saw that you listed. I'm definitely coming to that.
Yeah, that's the tarot school holiday party. It's so much fun. Yeah. I'm so excited that you'll be there because
I can finally meet you in person, and I will give you one of my decks because I would love to get you one. So, is there anything else? I'm going to list all of this in the notes to this podcast and obviously back to your Instagram and your site. Is there anything else coming up that you want to share that we should be aware of?
Definitely. I would say go on out and get my new book, Llewellyn's Complete Guide to the Rider-Waite-Smith Tarot. If any of you listening are interested in the symbolism of the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, if you're interested in Pamela Coleman Smith and or Arthur Waite, whose text I deconstruct throughout the entire book. It's not a book about what I think the tarot is. It's really a book getting to the heart of what Pamela and Waite were after when they created the landmark Rider-Waite-Smith tarot deck. So I'd, be happy for anyone to go out and purchase that book and leave a review on Amazon would be amazing. I'm a main stage presenter at the Reader School, the Reader Studio this April, although I believe the Reader Studio, which is like a really big tarot conference, is already sold out, but I'm excited to present there. And I think that's it.
Amazing. You have so much going on. You're such an inspiration. And thank you and your crazy busy schedule for being able to talk to us.
Oh my God. Thank you for having me on. It was like so much fun.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, I will see you soon. Thank you so much.
So I basically just want to live in Sasha's magical world of tarot, travel, yoga, and eating every recipe ever from Enchanted Kitchen. Definitely check out the Nine of Pentacles lava cake. It's perfect for the upcoming holidays this week. Before we head out, to quickly recap, we're in our first week of Capricorn season and our last week of December, which was brought to us by the Seven of Cups, the Bearer of Opportunities, with the reminder to move forward with decision and intuition. Our additional December card, Page of Wands, worked with us throughout the month to inspire action, creativity, and evolution. And this week brings us the Hanged Man, aka the Lindsay Lohan card. It's a time to surrender to a new perspective and open ourselves up to awareness and enlightenment that this position is bringing in. Don't forget to check out CardsyB on Instagram and the new Instagram Live segment, Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So you can check that out for highlights of the upcoming week and a chance to ask your own questions for a free live mini reading. Also, there's still 1 week left to win the Magician and Fool New Year's giveaway. So if you haven't already, to enter, one, follow CardsyB and Magician and Fool on Instagram. Number two, like the super cute pic of me and Susan Wands. Number three, tag three friends you think would also want to win this amazing Magician t-shirt and Susan Wands' book, Magician and Fool. And number four, repost this post on your Instagram and tag me, CardsyB. Winners will be announced with a special guest on New Year's Eve. Good luck, witches. Thank you so much. And as always, stay magical AF.